This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least 3 times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
103.7 Kiss FM, Ali and DZ. Good morning.
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias, DZ. We've been waiting for this day. It's a very big day on the show.
And the time has finally come, y'all.
Finally, we had to work with everyone's schedules because they're way more important than us. They're doctors.
We're not going to cap. Obviously, they got way more to do and we just chilling.
We don't do surgery and all that. We just do surgery of the brain.
Compared to them, we do nothing. We do nothing.
We have nothing going on compared to these
and
guys.
And I bet you their golf game is better than mine, too. Still.
Oh,
yeah, man.
A big golfer.
I don't even want to go there,
We're going to find out. All right. Well, welcome to the show. It only took us how long to get you guys on because of your busy schedules, but I'm so excited. From Allume Cosmetic Surgery and Med Spa, welcome to the show, Dr. Korkos. Good morning.
Good morning, Allie and DZ. It's so great to be in the studio with you guys today.
Woo! And then we have Dr. Assessian. Good morning.
Good morning. How's it going?
It's going good. Thanks for coming in today.
I was just wondering what it means that we come on right after Am I the Jerk?
It means you guys are the big deal. You guys are, you know?
You're important.
That's
this
right.
This is when people really want to hear everything.
That's right.
And then finally, Dr. Blake, the guy who loves being on the air, I heard.
Good morning.
I'm kidding. Dr. Blake, you're the shy one. Is that right?
I guess so. Yeah.
I just do the surgeries and I'll be going home, man. I'll just be chilling, man. I'm a quiet guy.
Yeah, that's me. Okay, so we've been dying to have you guys on because DZ and I have all these conversations about my surgeries and everything I've done, and then we just kind of make up things in our mind as to the answers.
Yep. I pretend doctor in my brain. Yep.
Even though we're not surgeons and we have no idea. So welcome. Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, we've heard some of the comments in the consult room, DZ. I'll tell you something. They're not that bad. Maybe you want to come in one day and assist us.
Really now? Hold on. Don't have me being an associate for a day.
Your golf game will get better.
Dr. Korkos.
My hand-eye coordination.
Is he not? He's hysterical,
man. That man is good. He's funny. So funny. Y'all are good.
You guys, I know, you guys combined, if people have heard the commercials, because this is not an ad. I truly just wanted you guys to come on and talk about everything that I've done with my weight loss, all my skin removal surgeries, because I had my arm lift, I had my tummy tuck, I had my breast lift and augmentation, I had my butt lift in December. Like, I have honestly, you know, done a lot with you guys, and it's all gone great. But people blow me up, and they just want to know all the answers, like, how much? What's the recovery? And I'm like, you guys have to go in and talk to them about this. So, okay, where should we start? Because DZ, I mean, let me just start with Dr. Korkos. I was telling DZ off the air, you got some wild Milwaukee ties. Your dad was one of the founders of the Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
You know I'm going to make you tell this.
I saw the picture of him and Mr. O.R. over here, the Milwaukee legend. So I'm seeing big legendary things here,
You're
man.
You're talking about the big O, Oscar Robertson?
Yes, sir.
Yep. So in 1966, a couple of guys...
Is that his mic? Hold on. Is that his mic sounding funny? You know what? Grab this mic right here.
Let me grab this mic.
This is not... I don't know where our engineer is. Just lean on into it. There you go, Dr. Korkos. Tell the story about your father.
Yeah, so in 1966, a couple of guys from Milwaukee got together and wrote a letter to the National Basketball Association requesting a franchise. And they were granted the franchise, which then became the Milwaukee Bucks. In 1968 was their first season, and one of those guys was my father.
Wow.
So he was part owner of the team with the rest of the group until Herb Cole bought the team out in the mid-'80s. And he won a world championship with Kareem, Lou Alcindor, Bobby Dandridge, the Greyhound.
Legends, and, rafters, amazing. Rafters.
And, amazing.
Unfortunately, my father passed away 3 years ago, but I still have his championship ring in my safe.
Wow.
A pretty cool story.
I love that. I was like, that's a real Milwaukee, a good Milwaukee story.
Yeah, a lot of history. Mm-hmm. And the nice thing about all of us at Alum, we're all Milwaukee people, both the girls and the boys, and we take pride in what we're doing because we're servicing our community.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's home.
And then how did you come together with Dr. Asassian and Dr. Blake? Like, how did you guys all, because you guys decided to merge, right?
Yeah, yes, we did. And Dr. Asassian and I were partners. And we had the spot, or we had Plastic Surgery Associates, and we pretty much serviced the west side of town. Dr. Blake had the Clinic of Cosmetic Surgery. He was servicing the North Shore, the east side of town. And we just realized times were changing in medicine in the community. We realized that people were coming into the marketplace claiming to be plastic surgeons that weren't board certified plastic surgeons. We were seeing some of the patients from their facilities that we were correcting, and we felt if we teamed up and we marketed appropriately, that if somebody was really seriously thinking about cosmetic surgery, that we would be able to get them in front of us, who are board certified plastic and reconstructive surgeons. And it's really worked.
It's been amazing. Yes, Dr. Asassian, hello.
Hey, I just wanted to add, I came to town about 20 years ago, having grown up in the area, but leaving for training and all kinds of things.
I heard you. Did you go to Yale?
I did at one point.
Flex.
I would be telling everybody that.
That'd be my introduction.
Well, that's where I went.
Yo, graduate. What's up? Good morning.
For a reason, because he is the professor.
The professor. Put some respect on his name.
Respect for the institution once they accepted me. Let me just say, I want to add to what Tom was just saying that really these practices, what he didn't mention was Tom was in practice with his father for a long time before I came back to town and joined those two.
Yeah.
And Dr. Blake's practice goes back even probably a little further, around the same era in the 70s with Dr. Levy, who started that practice.
Okay.
So these were two legacy practices that had really been in place for now 50 years.
Strongholds.
So they kind of, that's it's impressive how you guys came together, because that's what you want is the trust.
What happens when you mix two powerhouses? It becomes a major powerhouse.
Exactly. And what about you, Dr. Blake? I know you want to be quiet. You're quiet over
there. He's calm, cool, and collected. My man's is just chilling. He's my kind of energy right there.
I've heard a lot of good things about all of you. I mean, obviously, Dr. Korkos did my surgeries, but I've heard amazing things about you too, Dr. Blake. And how they call you the eye guy sometimes, that you're the eye guy.
What do they mean, the eye guy?
Does that mean you're the professor of the eyes? Look at him. He's like, why are you embarrassing me, Allie?
He's the Glock doc, the glaucoma. You know what I'm saying?
How did you come in with the other doctors?
Well, like Tom and Chris said, I'm actually originally from Florida, apple farmer. But my family moved here from Miami, I joined up with Clinic of Cosmetic Surgery.
Yeah.
And the partner that I had, Dr. Mixter, was retiring, and I didn't want to be alone. Dr. Quirk has called me.
Aww.
We met at one of his local social clubs, and
nice.
We talked it out, and it just seemed like it was going to fit and work out.
And
well.
you knew that you.
I
it's
had
like
him at hello.
he had him with the kiss on the forehead.
Well, we're already getting texts about you guys. Dr. Asassian, they said, is amazing. Thank you for what you do. They're a breast cancer survivor. Because I always say, a lot of people I learned working with the doctors at Alum was that I didn't realize how much you do for cancer patients and people in accidents and the reconstructive things you guys do. I mean, you change a lot of lives. So thank you for that. Let me just say.
It's probably one of the more rewarding parts of our practice, to be honest with you. And we do a lot. We do a lot of it. We do a lot of cancer reconstruction, you know, as part of the reconstruction really means restoring form and function. And it's very important for patients from a psychological point of view. You know, people who have, say, skin cancer on their face, you know, they just want to be able to go out and look normal. And they can be very, very challenging cases, but they are some of the more rewarding cases that we do.
I would imagine. And Dr. Korkos, you and I have talked about the weight loss patients as well. You said that can be rewarding, right? I'm going to have you talking to that, Mike.
I mean, our weight loss program, which we instituted about 3 years ago, has just been incredibly successful. And we're finding that people that are going through our program are losing an average of 20 pounds in the first 3 months. The average of 35 to 45 pounds in the next 3 months. And then, you know, what you're left with is hanging skin.
And trust me, I know.
Well, we've talked.
Yep. And so, you know, we work hard to reconstruct the body, the torso, the face, the eyelids. We've been doing really, really, really good surgery with those patients.
You do. You changed my life, that's for sure.
So we've got proof.
Fantastic, Ellie.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Y'all did fantastic, doctors.
Yeah, but you know what the thing is?
I call them artistes.
Yeah, I mean, facts, you know, the bottom line is, you know, we're sort of the icing on the cake. You did all the work. You lost the weight. And to be honest with you, you know, there was a beautiful palette there. We just had to bring it out. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you, Dr. Korkos.
This is why they do what they do.
Thank you, Dr. Korkos. I love it.
I mean, he said you already did. You did the hard part. Yeah. We just helped you finish up looking like you. You did what needed to happen. We just tightened up.
Because I was in the gym and I couldn't ever see my body. No matter what I did, I had all this skin because I had lost 150 pounds.
You were never going to see it.
I need someone to come take this skin off. So it's WXSS HD1 Wauwatosa, Milwaukee. Okay. We haven't even gotten to the questions I said we were going to ask you guys.
We didn't? Oops. Us? What's getting new? Off the rails and just having a casual conversation?
What's new? So, okay, let me just start with the number one question I get in my inbox, and you guys can decide how you want to answer these. The number one question is, how much? Which drives me crazy. Can I be honest?
Because average?
I tell everyone, it depends. Everyone's different. And you can tell me your opinion on this, but I always say, like, it's not the same. We all have different bodies. We all get different things done. I have no idea. That's why you go in for a consultation, because why would you want me to give you I can't give you a quote.
Right.
Yeah. Does that make, what I mean?
Part of the problem starts with patients not really understanding what surgery it is that would benefit them the most. We get a lot of people coming in who say they want some liposuction, but really what they need is skin removal. You know, that's one example. That's very, very common.
Oh, really?
Yeah, people view liposuction as kind of a generic term, which, you know, so you can get a quote for liposuction over the phone, or we can tell you how much our liposuction procedures, but until you're sitting in front of the physician, the doctor, the person who's going to be helping you through this journey, you know, and getting a full evaluation and understanding what all of your options are, it's hard to say, well, this is going to cost this or going to cost that. And everyone then is different, too. Like, even within abdominoplasty, say, the procedure has to get tailored to exactly what the needs of the patient are. And that can mean many different things, you know. So to say cost, it's a little difficult. And that's primarily it. I mean, we can give ranges. But you know, and if you combine surgeries, it may change things a little bit, too. People have to have their priorities. But I'm just saying that's the difficulty when you say exactly what does it cost.
Right. Well, and that's why I'm like, you have to just go in. I can't give you a quote. Like, I just can't.
But it's this isn't buying a used car, bro. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. No used cars in our offices. nothing but Mercedes-Benz, baby.
Skirt.
But, you know, as far as costs are concerned, I agree with Chris. I mean, people need to come in. They need to know what procedures are best going to benefit them.
Sure.
And it's surprising, at least in this marketplace, people do come in. They've done some research. They've talked to other offices. They may have seen some other plastic surgeons in and around the region. And so most people come in with a fairly realistic understanding of what it's going to cost. Of course, you know, you have very, very highly qualified people around you, particularly in the operating room. When you're talking about board certified anesthesiologists, Our operating rooms are certified by the American Board of Plastic Surgery.
Yeah, and I had surgery right at a loom, by the way. Like, I don't know if people realize that. I was at your offices. I had one in Waukesha and I had one in Glendale.
You didn't have to go to anywhere specific.
I was in their operating rooms.
Yeah,
yes.
So we have one in Waukesha. Mm-hmm. We have two in Glendale. All operating rooms are certified. The Waukesha operating room is certified by Medicare, which means we can do insurance work there,
Thank you for bringing this up, because there's another one. Does insurance cover it? I get asked that all the time.
One question answered right there. Yeah.
Insurance will cover a lot of surgery. You have to come in. You need to be evaluated. Photos need to be taken. Mm-hmm. And then you need to apply to the insurance company. It usually mm-hmm. takes about 4 to 6 weeks to hear back. Mm-hmm. And they'll write a letter back, and they'll say, yes, we agree, or no, we don't agree.
That's cool.
But if they don't agree, they're going to tell you in the letter why. And mm-hmm. we tell patients, fix it. Whatever that is, mm-hmm. whether you need to go out and get physical therapy, whether you need to get a back x-ray, whatever they want you to do, do it, because in the end, the squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Nice. Well said, Dr. Korkos. Yeah. Okay, so then what about the next question I get more than anything? What's the recovery like? Who wants to take Dr. Blake? And I say again to everybody, every surgery is different. I don't know how to answer these things, guys. Okay, Dr. Blake, you're going to take this one? What's the recovery like? How do I even answer
Talk
that
Talk to
one?
Us, Dr. B, the octop.
We're talking to the doctors from Alloon Cosmetic Surgery and Med Spa, where I had all my skin removal surgeries. We've been dying to ask them every question we want, and here we are. Okay, Dr. Blake.
Yeah, I think that's an extremely important question. Everybody asks it. Everybody wants to know the same thing. But the truth is, as you said, every surgery is different.
Yeah.
Every person is different, so mm-hmm. some people heal up quicker than others. I think the most important thing to do is to listen to the doctor as far as what they recommend, as far as mm-hmm. the average length of time, and make sure that you're prepared and have that amount of time off. Because if you're trying to get back too quick, or you know, that's when something's going to go wrong, or you're going to have stress, you're going to have anxiety, and make the whole experience a lot worse.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, with my first surgeries, I did my say it for me, doctor, abnoplasty, tummy
abdominoplasty.
Tech? Abdominoplasty. Thank you. I'm no doctor, obviously.
That's why we got
But
him
I had, you know, my stomach muscles, I had my arm lift. So I had to be more tender when pushing myself up, right?
Yeah.
Whereas with my butt lift, when I got all that skin, I was like using my arms, I had my stomach. It was totally different. I had my core for the second one, and I was like moving around like that. So I was like, you really can't compare. They're all so different. And I saw that myself, you know?
Yeah, every surgery has a different recovery. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's part of the consultation, coming in and understanding what the recovery is going to look like for each procedure that the patient's inquiring about.
Mm-hmm. What about the scars? The other one. This is my next question. Yeah. Everybody wants to know about the scars. I get so annoyed with that question, because I'm like, well, do you want the skin hanging or do you want the scar? Well, what would you rather have?
Yeah, I think it's a key trade-off, right? So you're either going to have the loose skin hanging there that's going to be in the way, or a scar. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes we try and hide the scar in somewhere that's a little bit less visible. There's things that we can do for the scar afterwards. Obviously, it starts with how we do our closures, take the tension off the skin so it doesn't widen, try and get the best scars as possible.
There's like an art to it.
I was just about to say, I've never thought about the closure in actually doing something to the scarring process.
Mm-hmm. I never thought about that either.
See, y'all are artists.
Artists. They really are. It's reconstructive and, you know, fix it. Go mm-hmm. on. Sorry, Dr. Blake. Yeah.
That's all right.
No, it's a thing.
So not only in how you close it, but when you take the sutures out, what else are you doing to the closure process? But then afterwards, as it's healing, there's things that you can do. Silicone scar gels. There's lasers that can help draw pigmentation out. Sometimes you do microneedling or laser mm-hmm. resurfacing to try and flatten the skin out. Sometimes there's a steroid injection that can help flatten things out. So it totally depends. But,
no kidding.
You know, it's important just to keep monitoring and keep it out of the sun. And avoid tension, avoid smoking, avoid all the things that
the recovery.
That we tell you, yeah.
Right,
that's
right.
You know, I was embarrassed. I smoked before my first surgery. That I haven't smoked in 2 years. I quit.
Look at you now.
I was very and because
that part for
because
real.
I did not want. I was so embarrassed. I hit it anyway, but I was so worried about my recovery that I wanted to heal, and that was like a huge motivator. And now I feel like I never did to begin with. I feel like did you guys hypnotize me when I was
so this is a very common, you know, and really smoking is one of the key things that I talk to patients about if they're smokers. most of our procedures, really, we will not operate on people for elective stuff if they're smokers, because it has such a detrimental effect on healing.
Mm. Wow.
So I think once people...
I had to quit. Yeah, and I did. Yeah.
And then
once people are educated about it, it really doesn't take much. And mm-hmm. obviously, there's no cajoling or judgment about it. But, you know, once patients are educated about it, they are motivated.
Yeah.
They are motivated, and they can quit. And I find in my practice, once patients quit for 2-3 months, whatever it takes, they don't go back.
Why would they?
Most of them.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I'll tell them, you know, I gave you a pretty good looking chest, but probably the best thing I ever did for you is get you to quit smoking.
No kidding. No kidding.
I also helped the inside of that chest, you know, your lungs.
It's so true. Okay. Next question for the doctors from Alum. We have Dr. Korkos, Dr. Blake, Dr. Assassian. Am I saying that right, Dr. Assassian?
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you.
But I get called a lot of things. Okay. So feel free. Dr. H is fine. If that's
Dr. H too.
DH.
Or just Hussy. Just Hussy.
Chill.
Aren't they fun?
Brett, next time y'all need a fourth for a threesome group, for golf, let me know.
Now, DZ caddied for many years, and he is a golfer, and I like actually make him try to help me because he's very patient. You have a very good coaching soul, DZ. Okay, next question.
Done.
What's the most popular surgery right now?
Right now, abdominoplasty is probably the most popular operation
tucks.
We're doing. Tummy tucks. Our marketing Megan.
Megan.
Yeah, she's in the room today. Hey, Meg. Does a great job for us. And we track all our information that comes in, all our phone calls. Number one procedure asked for in October, November, December was abdominoplasty. Mm. Interestingly enough, now we're now coming into the spring.
Yeah.
Last month, the number one procedure, breast augmentation.
Oh,
yeah. So it's funny how these procedures sort of come and go depending on the time of the year.
Yep.
A lot of facelifting and eyelid surgery in the fall and into the winter. We've done a lot of tummy tucks in the last 4 months, but now all of a sudden we're seeing a lot of breast surgery getting ready for the summer.
Ready for the swimsuit.
It's fascinating how many people come out of the woodwork. Because, you know, I'm just an open book about mine.
Yeah.
I do not care. I told everyone that what I was doing. I've told every detail and I have no shame, obviously. But it's amazing how many people who shall remain nameless came out of the woodwork to me. I had this done. I went, excuse me? I had a tummy tuck. I mean, people just, I was like, you can talk about it. Like, I don't know why.
And how did you disappear for a few weeks and nobody noticed? Yeah, like, what do you do for a living?
And they've gone through their life and people don't even realize they did it, which it's your privacy, yeah. I guess, you know, but seriously, I couldn't believe how many people came out of the woodwork. I've done that.
Absolutely. And I think we're going to get ready for a big wave of skin reduction with the GLP-1 drugs that are out there now.
I was going to say, you must have a ton of skin removal with all the weight loss going on.
It's starting to come in, I think, right now. Yeah, I mean, people, we like people to have lost their weight and be steady at that weight for a good 6 months or so. So, I mean, it's going to take a little bit of time for people to plateau out and stabilize, but I think it's going to be, with the popularity of these medications, it's going to be a bit.
That was my fear when I came to you guys was, am I going to be able to keep it off? Because I remember meeting with you briefly in like 2019 before COVID, and I was still scared to do skin removal because I was like, what if I gain it back? And I didn't actually do my skin removal till 2022, and I was like, oh, I got this now, like I'm not scared. What were you going to say, Dr. Korkos?
Be stable. Well, it was interesting because yesterday we met with the vendors from Allergan. They're the Botox company.
Oh, and a lot of Botox questions.
A lot of filler questions, I'm sure. But the interesting thing is Allergan had a very off year last year. And they're blaming the weight loss drugs. They're blaming that patients are turning to the weight loss drugs instead of Botox and fillers, and that's where people have been spending their money across the area.
Oh, it's like pick one or the other.
Yeah, very interesting.
Somebody texted in, by the way, and you don't have to answer this because it wasn't on my list, but they wanted to know what age you should start doing Botox. Like, is there an age or, you know, is there an age you shouldn't do it? Or is it?
I feel like it's getting younger, ain't it?
Well, it's definitely getting younger. I mean, I know girls that are 20 getting it.
Well, we used to think Botox was for one thing and one thing only, the anti-age.
Later today.
Well, with technology and with medical advancements, we've realized now that that's not even the case, bro. Like, Botox. Botox can help so much.
It changed my life.
Will it help my knee? I got some knee pain. Is that like a cortisone shot?
Okay. Come on in. Sure.
So, Botox, age, does it matter? Is there an age you should start or shouldn't start? Because it helps you, your age, it makes you look younger. It stops with the lines in your face, which I was educated on so many things with Botox.
Yeah, I think a lot of times people come in and they say, oh, am I too young for Botox? And I often find myself telling people they might be too old for Botox. Botox is really designed at trying to prevent a wrinkle from forming. So once a wrinkle is really deep and establishes, Botox may not really help. Obviously, you don't want to do it when you're 5.
Right, you want to be an adult.
Heard.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So it's more preventative than if you come in too late and those lines in your forehead are already so there. Interesting.
Well, so then what would you suggest for somebody that says comes in and goes, oh, Botox, and you're like, sorry, baby boy, you're a little too past that on the crow's feet. What can you do for me?
Yeah, I mean, once Botox or fillers aren't helping, that's when we typically guide towards more invasive procedures or facelifts. Mm-hmm. Mini lifts or something along those lines. But when somebody is trying to decide, okay, am I ready for Botox yet? It's all right. When you start to have very fine lines at rest, you know, you're starting to be a good candidate. Or if you can really animate and make deep grooves, family history of strong number 11s, those types of things.
Which is right in between your eyes.
Why did I feel like I knew that? That's what he was talking about, knowing nothing about it.
Okay, doctors, you're going to stick around. We have to play some commercials, but you guys will stick around because we still have more questions. Is that okay?
Oh, yeah.
Great.
Okay.
We got through a fifth of what we got in the barrel.
I haven't even been able to read all the text messages coming in. They're coming in like crazy.
I got my questions, too.
Yeah. And DZ has questions. He has questions about men and what they get done and don't get done. And we have questions about the BBL because there's a lot of talk about BBLs in pop culture.
I mean, do y'all do knee BLs, right? Like, we want to know. We got all the questions.
It's not a thing, is it?
It is a thing. A knee BL?
No.
Yeah, leg lengthening surgery? It is a thing.
You ever heard of this? Leg lengthening? That sounds crazy.
Yeah, that's more an orthopedic procedure.
Dang it.
I told you were out of your mind with that one.
It does exist, though.
All right, we're going to talk to the doctors from Allume Cosmetic Surgery and MedSpa next. Hold on. 103.7 KISS FM, Ali and DZ. Good morning.
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias to Adrian, who dropped off the Oreos and the Rose. Thank you so much.
Adrian? I didn't actually see who it was, bro.
I swear, he texted in and said, enjoy Oreos for DZ, Rose for the sweetest lady.
Oh, I thought the Rose was for me. Wow.
Keep dreaming. That was so nice. Thank you, Adrian.
I appreciate you, fam. Appreciate you.
I said we did not pay him to come make us look good in front of the doctors from a loom. You would think we paid that guy, but
I'll Venmo him after, though.
So if you're just joining us, they've been on since 7:45, and we're not done yet. We have three of the doctors from Allume Cosmetic Surgery and Med Spa. Allume, I-L-L-U-M-E.
Yep.
And I obviously got my skin removals done at Allume after I lost 150 pounds. And so I feel like I've done a lot of plastic surgeries now. And I wanted to have you guys on the show. So Dr. Korkos, welcome back.
Thank you. Nice to be back.
Dr. Asusian, welcome back.
Thank you.
Big
and
dog.
Dr. Blake, who's slowly getting more comfortable, even though he's the shyest of the three.
Silent assassin. Going crazy, man. He'll slice you up and not say a word, son. I'll be your hype guy. What's up?
New nickname.
I love working with DZ because he's the best. And I know I always see you alone. And now I'm so glad you guys got to really spend time with DZ today and see what my life is like because he's a character. And now you'll see him at the Bucks games as well. Okay, DZ, back into the question.
Yes, let's dip back
in. Because we've already answered how much you need to get a consultation because everyone is different. I said I get asked every question you can think of in my DMs and I get so annoyed. I'm like, go in for a consult, right? We talked about the recovery. It depends on the surgery, right?
Yes.
We talked, and all this, by the way, will be up. If you missed any of these questions, we post the show every day. We will put it up and you will be able to find some of the answers to these. So back into the questions we have not asked, DZ.
Okay.
Let's talk about the BBL because when I got mine done, DZ, we had a good time talking about BBL Ali.
BBL
lolly.
But when I truly went in and said, okay, you did my top half, which sounds so funny.
I'm but like, it's true.
And I remember Dr. Korkos going, Allie, what do you want? You look good. What do you want? And I said, I want the bottom half to match the top half.
Which is a genuine thought,
which
though, man.
Like, so this, I said, I want the skin or something removed. And Dr. Korkos, you looked and you said, and you brought, even brought Dr. Assessian in. I love it how you guys work together and you get different opinions from each other. Like the amount of knowledge between all the doctors. But I actually thought a BBL was always implants. I didn't know that it's really just a butt lift is a butt lift, and it's about a fat transfer and things like that, right?
Yeah, so BBL has become very popular, obviously, mm-hmm. and the true definition of a Brazilian butt lift mm-hmm. is harvesting fat from the abdomen and the torso. We capture it in a reservoir, and then we inject the fat into the buttock.
Mm.
And
which is what you did with me. You took it out of the side. I had these kind of deformed saddlebags, I call them. And no, really, Dr. Korkos, they've seen it. They know.
I called them cargo pants. I was like, oh, so you're getting your cargo pants pulled up.
You basically took the fat, you lipoed the fat out of the sides, and you put it, you injected it into my buttocks to reshape my butt, right?
Yeah, now you're wearing skinny pants.
That's
right.
So you know you can move fat around the body, and mm-hmm. And it's being done on a regular basis within our industry. Mm-hmm. And you know, Brazilian butt lifts are not about really big butts. I mean, it's really about buttock reshaping.
Mm-hmm.
If you want a larger buttock, one of two things has to happen. Either you have to commit to multiple Brazilian butt lifts.
Oh, really?
Okay, multiple procedures.
Multiple transfers.
Multiple procedures.
Interesting.
Or you add the buttock implant plus the fat.
So people do the implants as well.
It's like a base layer of the implant and then you
and
fat on top
fat.
Of it or what?
Yeah. Now, the implants are... It's a procedure that you really need to talk to the patients about, because mm-hmm. implants are implants. They're real. And you know, you're going to feel them when you sit on them. The people that I've put buttock implants in want them.
Yeah.
Fair.
So I take the tack in the consult room. I educate them.
Yeah.
And if I can't talk them out of that procedure, I'll do it for them. You understand? They got to really want it.
Mm.
And so then you end up having happy patients.
See what I mean about they keep it real? They're telling the truth. You know, they're like, you sure?
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me educate you.
The board certified versus the non-board certified, you know?
Yeah. So go big or go home.
Well, and that's the way I felt about mine was I can see it's hard. You really have to have seen me naked, which most people are never going to do. But you have to, I can tell how my butt is lifted, you know, and how different it looks. And there was a lot of skin there that I covered up with compression and different types of clothes that I feel so much more comfortable now since I got my butt lift. I don't have implants. Dr. Korkos just, you know, moved did the fat transfer.
We did the traditional
which
BBL.
Which makes it the BBL, right? What were you going to say, Dr. Assassin?
I'm just gonna say, for someone who's lost a lot of weight, mm-hmm. a lot of that sagging and reshaping is skin removal.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very key.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, for people who get the fat transfer, it's interesting to look at the before and after pictures, and oftentimes the buttock area is not necessarily that much larger, but the shape above it, where you sculpt the waist in, adds to the effect.
Mm.
You know,
artiste.
So it's super important to really be aggressive about that when you're mm-hmm. doing it.
Yeah, and you know, will you talk at all about, do people bring in pictures from the internet that they think is real and it's totally fake, and you have to have talks with them
all the time?
All the time.
All the time.
I want to hear more about this. Yeah. Go on.
You have to.
And they're doctored. They're doctored pictures too.
You have to.
AI images.
Oh, yeah.
That's part of the consultation is establishing realistic expectations,
mm-hmm.
okay? And people come in with all kinds of expectations. You know, if anything, more people are unrealistic than realistic. But we get a mix. But people who come in with pictures from the internet often, most of the time, they're completely unrealistic.
Mm,
and I almost feel like telling them, okay, if you want to look like that, get your picture taken. Take it to someone who knows how to use Photoshop, and then
get it AI'd. I don't know.
No, because that is what that is.
Yeah.
That is
sure.
what that is.
I find that fascinating because I've had these conversations with Dr. Quirkos off the air too. And now I'm glad you're both here, Dr. Assessian and Dr. Blake too, to back that up and say the things you see on the internet, these expectations of what you want a body to do is not real. Some of these pictures are fake.
So some of my funner spots to go to if I'm on Instagram ever looking at stuff, there are some of these sites that you can go on and they have the doctored picture and the non-doctored picture right next to each other.
Wow.
And it's just amazing how rampant it is with all the celebrity pictures that you take, even their children.
Sure. Yeah.
They'll doctor the pictures of their kids,
yeah.
you know, to give them a little bit better jawline or something like that.
Why are you trying to chisel a 7-year-old's jawline, man? Leave him alone. Leave him alone in his Paw Patrol Botox. T-shirt, man. Come on.
You're too young for Botox. We've for established real. That. So.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so we've talked about all the fake stuff online and the pictures people think. We've talked about does insurance cover it, and it depends. A lot of times it does. We've talked about some of the amazing good things. If you missed it in the first part, once again, talk about what I was really impressed with your field is all the amazing things you do for cancer patients, burn victims, people in accidents, people don't, it's cosmetic surgery. It's not vain. Like there's so much you guys do.
And it's not just ladies either.
And we're going to get to the men next. Yeah, you want to talk some more about just the cancer patients? I've met so many women who've had breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
You've talked about skin cancer. Dr. Blake, you see a lot of that?
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't understand what all plastic surgeons do. They think of just the BBL or the breast lift or that type of thing. But really, plastic surgery encompasses hand surgery, craniofacial surgery, breast cancer, reconstruction.
Yeah.
My favorite time that I do is... I did mission work down in Mexico doing cleft lip, cleft palates, and burns on kids. And that's one of the most rewarding things that you can do.
Changing kids' lives, bro.
Mm-hmm. Breast cancer, melanoma, skin cancer, mm-hmm. all those types of things that we do to help people. It's not all just about, Botox.
Yeah.
Well, probably the most common thing we do that would say be covered by insurance company are breast reductions.
Mm.
And people have larger breasts and, you know, they can come in complaining of back pain, neck pain, shoulder pain, bruising their shoulders from the brush ups. And you can imagine someone coming in asking for that type of surgery has got to be really bothered by it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Happiest patients.
Most people want to go bigger.
Dr. Blake just mentioned happiest patients. They feel immediate relief after that type of surgery. But the insurance companies are willing to pay for it because there are real medical issues associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
And,
very true.
And so that's probably the most one of the more common things that we do in terms of that type of procedure.
Well, somebody actually texted in and said, can you get a breast lift without an augmentation? And I know the answer is yes, obviously, because one, I have a friend who already had big enough boobs, so she just got a lift. When I went in and I was down, I'm just keeping it real, I was down to an A cup, and I remember looking at Dr. Quirkos and going, can't you just do a lift? I don't want implants. And then he lifts up this tiny little bit of skin and he goes, that's what your boob's going to look like. I go, hell no, put the implant in.
Implant it.
Let me tell you, I am so glad I did it because you were right. For the shape of my body, what fit my body to go through all that, I was actually glad I did the lift and the augmentation. But some people just do the lift, right?
Yeah, that's why the consultation's so critical with a board-certified plastic surgeon. You got to evaluate the breast. You got to look at volume. You have to talk to the patient and what they expect.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody's looking, if they're happy with their volume, then you lift the breast.
Lift it, yeah.
Now, when you lift the breast, you're going to get the breast is going to become a little bit more compact. So you're going to have a sense that the breast has gotten slightly smaller. And we do talk about that in our consult. But if you're looking for more fullness, and in particular, if you're looking for more cleavage, which a lot of women are, I'm not talking about stripper boobs. I'm just talking about adding.
There's nothing wrong with that. We're not judging.
He said, give me some pictures of what you want. And I said, sorry, I'm talking too much. I'm missing all the good jokes, aren't I? Damn it. I'm going to have to listen back and hear this stuff. I swear, like, now I forgot what I was saying. Sorry, Dr.
Yeah. You don't want the stripper boobs.
Yeah. Oh, the stripper boobs. Thank you. Go. I was just going to say, I said, make them look natural, as real as you can, even though they're not real. And like, when I got done, I looked, I was like, wow, like, they look, it's impressive.
Right.
Like, I don't think that, you know, they look fake, even though they
no,
are.
Right. No, they are spectacular.
Thank you, Dr. Quirkos.
Shouting himself out. Yeah, we did a good job, y'all.
Good.
High five.
Drives the squad.
Yeah, fellas.
They're great. All right, they're great.
I got a question for you guys, just because we're talking about breast augmentations, breast lifts, right? We were just talking about BBLs. The curiosity in my brain, right, went to, wait, is there such a thing as a BBL, like a boob Brazilian lift? Right? Rather than doing a implant, you do a fat transfer from the same areas into the breast area.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So fat transfer can be used anywhere on the body, right? So we use it all the time in the face with facelifts. We do that, substituting fillers for fat.
Heard.
Obviously, the Brazilian butt lift. But yes, it can be done in the breast. The important thing that people need to understand is fat doesn't have 100% survival. So you don't take it from one spot, put it in the other, and all of it survives.
Got it.
And everybody's going to be different. If you're a smoker, if you're lying on that area, it's probably not going to survive. So it may be 30% survives, maybe 70% survives. So it's very variable. So it's very difficult to take somebody from an A cup to a C or D cup.
Sure.
It's better for small revisions, refinements, contouring certain areas. We use it all the time in breast cancer to try and blend in an implant when somebody doesn't have any native breast tissue over top of it.
Got it. So
yes, to answer your question, it can be done, but there's limitations to where it can be done.
DZ, I had little raisins. I mean, they were like shriveled up, you know what I mean, from all my weight loss. So they were really bad. I mean, it was Raisin City. So like, I had to get the implant. Like, trust me. And I have zero regrets about that. Zero, by the way. I was so glad I did it in the end. Like, honestly. And not everybody needs it, though.
But it makes sense. You know, somebody like yourself who says, I wanted a more full breast to match my body size, like Dr. Blake just said. No, that's more refinement. We would have fat transferred somebody that might have had like a BC cup, right? You were working with an A cup.
It
just
was bad.
Talking math, right? Bra math, right? Had an A cup. You wanted to see?
You want to talk about
bra math? Is it not bra math?
If you want to talk about just like my confidence and my comfort level, I mean, the entire time I would not take my shirt off ever with my own boyfriend. I would be in no shirt off ever. And now I'm like, let's go. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, like, you don't have to live like that. It's ridiculous.
Right. That's when you
want to be confident in yourself. DZ, you have questions about men, don't you?
Yes, yes. I mean, I'm a just rudimentary question, just ripping the Band-Aid off. What are the guys coming in for that they don't want to really ask out loud like that? Because I'm sure we want to do transfers and tucks and get the abdominoplasty as well. What are the surgeries that you hear from guys that do come in?
Yeah. Yeah, well, man boobs. I mean, they're number one. Yeah,
I could have guessed.
That's what people call them.
I had no idea. Yeah,
the movies, man boobs.
The moves.
Yeah. We call them moves.
So wait, they come in and they want what? Them taken off, basically? Or what do you do? Tell me everything.
It's called gynecomastia, and it's more common than people think. And it bothers a lot of men very, very significantly. They don't want to take their shirts off. They're in the gym. They don't want to even wear something tight-fitting. And people are distressed when they come in for that type of surgery. Yeah. You can imagine they don't even want to take their shirt off in front of, the doctor. You know, they get very embarrassed by it. But that is a very common one. Liposuction is another one for men.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the male gynecomastia patient. I mean, it's a game changer for guys.
Really?
Yeah, because as Chris says, I mean, it's almost functional.
Yeah.
From an emotional standpoint, we've seen so many of those. And they're kids, too. There are some kids. It's not just older men.
Whoa.
So men are coming in, because I got a message from a guy the other day, and he's like, can I ask you, do men go in? And I'm like, yes. And he said, well, I lost a ton of weight. And I was like, you're not the first man that's lost a ton of weight. You guys see men all the time.
So skin reduction in males, obviously, with massive weight loss. Facelifts, a lot of, people that are, executives now or in a business where they're front-facing to the public, and they're aging just like everybody ages.
Yeah.
And
naturally,
they're becoming very...
Eyelids.
Yeah.
Oh, I did my eyelids, which people were like, you did what to your eyes? But I knew when I went in and I said, Dr. Korkus, I know I'm here for my butt lift, but can we talk about my eyes?
While I'm here.
I had that eyelid hanging down. My dad's got it, but he wears glasses, so you can't see it. It was so much skin, and it just changed. It's been a game changer. Like, I'm still healing, but
I love
it.
Thing we do much more in men than women would be hair restoration. Because
Wait, huh? Hold on now. Now we're talking. All right, I'm all ears, I'm listening.
You look pretty good. I don't know.
Man, I'm gonna tell y'all straight up, from like here up is not the same as thickness as here back. You feel me? I'm gonna talk to y'all about that one.
Wait, so you do hair? Okay, go on. Do they get hair? How does that work?
It's mostly micrographs of hair, you know, taken from the back of the head, areas where you don't get hair loss, right? Bald men lose it in the center part of their scalp, but you can move the hair from one place to another and it persists.
I feel like that's a big insecurity for a lot of men, is their hair, especially at my age with the dating. A lot of guys just shave their whole head because they're so self-conscious about being bald or losing their hair.
And sometimes you're not even like bald, you're just thinning, and you know the thickness that you once had, and the length on one side, like for example, the literal front, bro, it's not but an inch and a half in my head that I feel is thinner than the rest of my hair.
Interesting.
But I'm trying to get ahead of it before it is too late. I'm trying to get ahead of it before that wrinkle's too deep. You feel me?
That's the best way to do it.
Yeah. So that's good to know. So you guys do that. Oh my gosh. How are we out of time?
We're not. They're staying here forever.
This is unbelievable. Okay, so we've been talking to the doctors from Alum. Honestly, I just want to say thank you for everything you've done for me. I know Dr. Korkos were the closest because I've spent the most time with you, but I've gotten to know Dr. Assessian and Dr. Blake, and I know a lot of people that have come to you and had surgeries done by all three of you and have nothing but positive things to say. Every time I post on Facebook or Instagram, it's, Dr. Assessian did this for me. He did my breast reconstruction, or Dr. Blake did my surgery. And everybody loves all of you guys. I haven't heard one bad thing yet. So, I mean, that's a testament to you guys. And I've just had good experiences. So this isn't even me gassing you up. Just, it's the truth. Like, you've changed my life, and I'm more comfortable with my body than ever before. And so thank you for all your expertise and helping me, you know?
Well, we really appreciate the compliments. But, you know, I'm coming back at you guys do a great job as well. I mean, you've created a lot of enthusiasm in the area. And patients are showing up, and they're talking about your morning show, and they're having surgery, and I think they're walking away very pleased, so we appreciate it as well.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Will you guys come back? Yeah, come back sometime, and we can ask more questions, because you know we didn't even scrape the surface, you know? Yeah. Dr. Korkos, you know, somebody found him the other day, because she knew about him from the show. She, where were you at when she came up and she wanted to meet you?
You got spotted?
So I was at the ophthalmologist's office. I had a little ophthalmology emergency, and I went saw my friend, and I'm waiting in the consult room on my phone, and a woman knocks on the door and comes in and says, Dr. Korkos. I said, yeah, this is Susie. And I said, hi, Susie, how are you doing? She goes, I hope I'm not bothering you, but I just wanted to introduce myself and meet you because Allie, Faith, and DZ, they talk about you all the time on the radio. I felt like a celebrity.
Man, y'all are.
I gave her a hug and a kiss. But it's one and done, DZ. It's one and done.
You are a celebrity. Look how many lives
you've changed. You guys are so dope, man.
You know?
You guys are so dope.
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Korkos, Dr. Assessi, and Dr. Blake. Thank you, guys. You going to do surgeries today?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I thought it was an off day. We back in the office?
Yeah.
How many surgeries today?
Two?
A piece? Two?
I'm seeing patients in the office.
Nice. Ooh, he said, I'm slight today. I'm taking lunch. You feel me?
All right. Love you guys. Thanks for coming in. We'll talk to you soon.